Welcome to the AWS podcast, hosted by Simon Alicia and Miles Ward. This is your regular update of new services, deep dives, and technical tips. If you'd like to share your feedback, please use the email or Twitter links at aws.amazon.com/podcast. Hello and welcome back to the AWS podcast. Fantastic to have you back. Simon Alicia, Principal Solution Architect here in Melbourne, Australia, with you for episode number 80. Flying solo this week, hope that's okay with you. Lots to cover, lots to talk about. So what's been happening in AWS land? Well, a few things. So we'll run through some of the things that might be relevant to you. Firstly, looking back, on the 14th of March 2006, a press release and a simple blog post came out announcing that the Amazon Simple Storage Service, or S3, had become available. And this, if you think about it in context of the internet, was a small yet big thing, because today we kind of take for granted that we have this really durable object store available to us where we can store our data at very low cost with very high durability. It gives us the flexibility to store as much data as we want for as long as we want in a cost-effective fashion. It's come a long way. Lots of new features, things like server-side encryption, reduced redundancy storage, a whole bunch of other capabilities that really underpins a lot of the things that happen on the internet today. And the most exciting thing is that we can build really cool solutions to customer problems based upon this really fundamental building block of simple storage. So congratulations to the S3 team. They've done a lot of work, come a long way since those humble beginnings. Now we store trillions of objects and hundreds of thousands of transactions per second. It's pretty amazing. So well done for them. So if you haven't looked at S3 lately, you probably should. Some nifty things like object lifecycle management, bucket policies, and other capabilities that you might not be so familiar with. So might be a good time to have a look back at it. Now, looking forward, something that's new is Amazon ElastiCache, which is an easy service that allows you to create, operate, and scale an in-memory cache. Now, in-memory caches are very important to application architectures because we know that memory works faster than disk. So keeping things in memory can give our applications a performance boost and allow us to scale much larger than we maybe previously could. It's also, in many cases, quite a simple change to make to an application to allow it to have the benefits of an in-memory cache. ElastiCache supports both Memcached and also Redis. And one of the new things that's happened is we now support Redis 2.8.6. This allows you to access a lot of the new cool Redis features, things like partial resynchronization with slaves, better consistency support, some new scan commands. You can use scan, hscan, zscan, or my personal favorite, sscan, to incrementally iterate over a Redis collection. And also there is now KeySpace event notification. So this allows you to create sort of PubSub channels and manage what's going on in the KeySpace. So look at the Redis KeySpace notification documentation for more information about that. You can launch your new ElastiCache for Redis cluster using version 2.8.6, or you can upgrade an existing cluster to 2.8.6. So I know a lot of folks who like to use Redis will get a kick out of that one. Another new service that's now available generally to all developers is Amazon AppStream. Now, we announced Amazon AppStream back at the reInvent conference last November. And at the time, we made that available to an initial group of developers so that we could really understand what was working with it well and what more developers wanted to see. And now we're taking the next step forward. It's being made available to all interested developers. So you can build applications that run on AppStream and scale them as needed in order to meet demand. So what does it do? Well, it allows you to build complex applications that run from very simple devices because you're decoupling the constraint of compute power, storage, or graphical rendering capabilities of the device itself from what you want to do. And that's because you take advantage of the new G2 instance types, which have high-performance GPU-powered rendering for 2D and 3D graphics. So you can imagine this is really relevant in the gaming space, but it's also really relevant to any application that does a lot of high-quality rendering on a wide variety of devices. The way it works is that client code runs on a desktop. We support Windows or Mac, or a mobile device running FireOS, Android, or iOS. And this allows you to basically stream information to those devices in a very efficient fashion whilst doing most of the processing heavy lifting on the server side on those G2 instance types and then rendering it beautifully on the device on the client side. Now, as well as announcing that this is now available to all developers, there's a few additional capabilities that the team have added that you should be aware of. Firstly, we now have automated version resolution. So AppStream can now detect the SDK version that was used to create a client and launches the compatible backend services automatically. So this allows AppStream and the SDK to evolve without the need for client upgrades, which, as you can imagine, can be quite tricky to manage. We now support the Mac client, so there's now an OS X SDK, software development kit, that allows you to create clients that run on the Mac. I'm a huge fan of that because I run one myself. Also, some improvements on the client SDK, so they now include support for game controllers and also an enhanced input mapping model for keyboard and touch events. So again, iterating on that capability. And there's now a simplified getting started experience. So we've improved the documentation, the packaging model, so hopefully you can get up and running really, really quickly. So if you're working in that data visualization space or the gaming space, a really important thing for you. Another nice announcement is coming from the Amazon CloudFront team. CloudFront is a content distribution network that allows you to deploy your content closer to your end users with over 50 edge locations around the world. Often you'd like to see, well, what's happening with that data? Who's downloading it? Where's it coming from, et cetera? What's kind of the utilization? So there are now 6 charts that have been made available for your CloudFront distributions. We allow you to see the number of HTTP requests, the number of HTTPS requests, the amount of data transferred over those two protocols, and the data transferred from CloudFront edge locations to your users, and also the data transferred from CloudFront to your origin. So you can understand a little bit more about how that distribution is working. And this comes with no additional charge. It's just part of the service that you get. So if you jump onto the AWS console, you'll be able to access that straight away. Of course, remember, there is also the CloudFront logging capability. So you can log even more data to your S3 buckets and analyze that with the tool of your choice. This gives you another dimension to look at as well. And also, one last thing to finish off today. An important change to how you manage your AWS account's access keys. We always want to make sure that you can keep your resources highly secure. And so on April the 21st, 2014, we will remove the ability to retrieve existing secret access keys from your AWS root account. Because secret access keys are secrets, like your password, we don't allow you to retrieve your password. If you forget it, you just reset it. The same thing will apply to your secret access keys in your root account. So what this means is that you need to, if you still use that account or use those credentials, you need to make sure you download that secret access key before it gets removed from access. You can, of course, if you forget your key, always create a new one. It's kind of like rotating your credentials. But what we recommend you do is you create your IAM users as your main access point. I'll link to our post in the AWS security blog so you can get a little bit of detail of that. But again, if you're using your root access keys, you should be downloading your credentials appropriately. And now it's time for a little black belt tip before we finish up. This one comes from my good colleague, John Hildebrand, who is located in Canberra. So a place that is very cold in winter, quite warm in summer. And he's come up with a little tip that many of our listeners might be interested in. With resource level permissions for EC2 in particular, you can specify which particular region you want the permission to allow access to. So the string equals credential is EC2 colon region, and you can specify, for example, AP Southeast 2 if you only want the Asia Pacific Sydney region. You could do AP Southeast 1 for Singapore. It really works with any particular region. So if you want to set specific credentials around particular region behavior for those resources that do support the region capability, that is really an interesting way to go. A little step, but an important step that many listeners might think is handy. Again, if you have a black belt tip you'd like to share with us, we would love to hear from you as well. Obviously, many of our listeners come up with some pretty cool and interesting things that they like to do, so I'd love to hear them as well. Again, if you enjoy the podcast, please do share it with others, and also do send us your feedback at AWSpodcast@amazon.com. So we'll wrap it up there. Shorter one this week, but information dense, hopefully. Look forward to speaking to you next week, and all the best. Thank you. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. We love getting your feedback, so please contact us on Twitter @AWSPodcast or via email awspodcast@amazon.com. Theme music provided under Creative Commons by Miles Rogers, audiofarm.org/audiophiles/22275.